Hello, Grave Talks family. It's Tony Bruschi. If you love the Grave Talks, you'll probably love our other podcast if you're already not a subscriber of it, Real Ghost Stories Online. The following is a 15-minute preview of this week's Extra Podcast Person, or EPP, bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I hope you enjoy. There's a lot of things in life that are hard to explain. You know, what a Twinkie is made out of. What exactly was that substance inside of Stretch Armstrong, and has it affected my mental health over the years? And how do you get rid of a Ouija board? What exactly do you do? Should you fear the Reaper? Is there ever a time where the Reaper is actually there to do good? A lot of random questions. And two of those relate to some of the stories in this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. One, where we look at a family that has that problem with the Ouija board. They want to get rid of it. They keep trying to get rid of it. It keeps coming back. Is there ever a way to break that cycle? It's a great story. Also, don't fear the Reaper, right? One woman learned that sometimes is actually true. She finds herself in a very dangerous situation, and it seems something that appears Reaper-like shows up and actually helps her out of that dangerous situation with the living. Good stories for you today here on EPP bonus episode number 378 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. When you have an object that you're not a big fan of, you don't like, you can insert blank here. Many ways of getting rid of something, from donating it if someone else may find some use or value in it, to throwing it away, to recycling it, to destroying it. I mean, there's all different things that can be done when one wants to get rid of something. And when one wants to get rid of something so bad, sometimes the best thing, or the thing that seems to feel best at the moment, I should say, is like destroying the item. If it's like, oh, this is a picture of something, you know, that makes me upset, you know, things like that. You're like, okay, if this is, you know, a document or something that, you know, has something on that you're celebrating, you burn it, whatever. There's all different ways of destroying something. When you have a Ouija board in your house that you don't like, you don't want around anymore, you want to get rid of it, you want to destroy it, and you do. You find a way to destroy and dispose of it multiple times over because it keeps coming back, even proven to be come back by very suspicious marking that they put onto the back of this Ouija board that will not go away. It's a great story. Take a listen. I've written in twice already, once about my dad's experience of the land that we deer hunt on, and the other about my personal experience on the campus of a famous university. I decided to write in again to talk more about my past and some of the darker aspects of my story. I told you about more recent events that happened to me since I graduated high school in 2017. I'll tell you about some things that happened in high school and before high school. I believe I've always been somewhat sensitive to paranormal activities, but I haven't always understood that it was what I was interacting with at the time. Looking back now, I know that I've had more experiences than originally thought. As a young child, I don't have any memories of seeing ghosts or paranormal activity. It wasn't until I was 10 years old that I remember interacting with that realm for the first time. To set this story up, I need to give a tiny bit of background information. At 6 years old, my parents divorced for various reasons. They remarried close throughout my childhood to provide my brother and I with as much stability as possible. But they did both remarry other people. My mom married my stepdad, and he loved us like his own children. He's still that way with us today, even though we're grown and gone. My dad, however, he married the devil in disguise, who became my then stepmom. For ease, let's call her Stacy. Not her real name, of course, but I'd like to remain anonymous. My life became one of chaos and torment every time I went over to my dad's house. Stacy and her two daughters moved in and started living with us full time when I was 8. Her oldest daughter, Michaela, was my same age, and her younger daughter, Melanie, was 6.5. My little brother was 5 at the time. We were all very close in age, and it was quite honestly pretty exciting at the prospect of having sisters. I had only known what it was like to have a brother, so I was excited to have sisters for a change, and that quickly diminished. My life became a living Cinderella story, minus the part where my dad dies and I'm an actual princess. I simply had the evil stepmom and stepsisters. They tormented my brother and I while my dad worked some evenings or during the summer days. See, my stepmom was a second grade teacher, so we were often left at home with her during the summer months when school was out. For the first 2 years of their marriage, my dad and stepmom seemed to have little disagreement between them. They got along well, didn't fight, at least not in front of us kids. That all soon changed. At about 10 years old, I was beginning to notice a shift in their relationship. They became hostile towards one another. My stepmom would pick fights with my dad when he walked through the door from work. She'd spend money that we didn't have on extravagant shopping sprees for her daughters. She'd physically push my brother to the ground when my dad wasn't home and leave bruises on him as she gripped his arms and shook him furiously if he messed up. She became meaner and easily angered. My dad became miserable in his own marriage and soon realized that my brother and I were telling the truth about this woman. Stacy's daughters were not much better. They would break things and blame it on my brother and I in front of the adults. They once even let our dog out of the house and said it was my fault because I left the front door open. I was sick of living in this house with these people, and I dreaded going over there on my dad's days and weekends. Eventually, I learned to just go straight to my room, to work on homework or watch TV, and only come out when absolutely necessary for the bathroom or to eat. It's about this time that I started noticing some weird stuff, besides the usual about my stepmom and stepsisters. As a kid growing up, I'd often get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. Usually, I would also wander into the kitchen for a cold glass of milk, as it was my favorite nighttime treat. One night in the middle of the week, that's exactly what had happened. Things had been relatively calm in my household for a few days, which was rare. There hadn't been any fights or screaming matches. I felt mostly okay about the whole thing at the time. I woke up in the night and made my trip to the bathroom and decided to go to the kitchen to grab some milk. Later, the kitchen is important for the rest of the story. We have a rather large house with 6 people that used to live there. It had to be. Our kitchen was smack dab in the middle of the house. It had 2 entrances. One was from the den area, and the other was on the opposite end that led to the dining room, front foyer, and main living room. You could walk around in a circle in the center of the house, starting in the den and going through the kitchen, dining room, front foyer, main living room, and end up back in the den. There was a bar that opened up to the den, so that it gave an open floor plan feel. The sink was right in front of the bar, so if you're standing at the sink, you were facing and looking out over the den area. The entrance from the dining room was at the opposite end of the kitchen, so that the back of the person at the sink would be towards the doorway. Our fridge was closer to the doorway that led to a dining room, so I often used that door on my midnight adventures to the kitchen. It was well known in my household that my stepmom loved the nighttime, to the extent that she would do housework or grade papers at early hours of the morning for no apparent reason. It was odd, but we just accepted it as her being an insomniac. It wasn't a surprise to me to see her at the sink, which is full of suds and dishes. The water was running and she was scrubbing a plate. The part that did surprise me was that the TV in the den was on at full volume on static. It was ear-splitting and I couldn't even hear the water running in the sink over the loud crackling noise. I had my hands covering my ears and I made my way towards my stepmom to get her attention. It was then that I noticed the faucet knob was turned all the way to hot. The water was streaming with heat. Our hot water heater was very good. Did a very good job. Usually scalded you if you stayed under the hot water too long. I noticed her hands were already blistered and red from the intense heat. She had been scrubbing that same plate, which looked shiny clean, for a while. I tried to say her name loud enough over the TV, but she continued to look forward at the TV and scrub the plate in a slow, methodical motion. I started tugging on her shirt to try to get her attention, but it didn't do any good. I walked around the bar and got in front of her line of sight and started waving my hands. Nothing happened. The TV was so loud and I wondered how it didn't wake my stepsisters. The stairs to the bedroom are right next to the TV and they typically slept with the bedroom door open. I grabbed the remote and muted the TV. I got my stepmom's attention real quickly. She slowly turned her head to look at me and started mumbling under her breath. I couldn't hear exactly what she was saying. I started to walk closer to her to try to hear what she was saying, but after my second step, she lost it. She started screaming at an ear-splitting volume, shouting, "Turn back on! Turn it back on! I need it to show me what I'm supposed to do!" I fumbled with the remote in fear and unmuted TV as quickly as I could. She started mumbling again, but this time it was louder. I could tell it was some sort of foreign language, and it felt like a chant. She wouldn't look at me anymore and was still scrubbing that same dish. I was freaked out and decided to run back to my bedroom to try to go to sleep again. The next morning, I walked into the kitchen after getting ready for school. Stacy and her daughters were at the breakfast table eating. My dad was sitting in the recliner of the den watching the morning news, and my little brother was sitting on the couch. I walked into the room and no one said anything. I half expected my stepmom to look up and laugh about what happened last night, but she never acknowledged me. I decided to wait till after school to ask her about it. Later, when we all got home, she was in the kitchen cooking dinner on the stove. My dad had to work late, so he wasn't home yet. My stepsisters were upstairs doing their homework, and my little brother was outside playing with the dog. I went up to Stacy and asked her what she was doing last night. She looked at me confused. "I don't know what you're talking about. When last night?" I answered her by telling her that I got up in the middle of the night to get a snack and that she was here in the kitchen washing dishes. She told me she didn't know what I was talking about. She said she was asleep all night and didn't do dishes. I decided that maybe it wasn't the smartest idea to push her further. She seemed to be on edge and a little tense. I don't know why, but I got a gut feeling I should just not ask her about it and not tell anyone else about it. Skip forward a couple of years. I was 12 when my dad finally decided to divorce Stacy. The divorce took a few months to be final, but she moved out quickly after the decision was made. In fact, she moved out in one weekend without telling us. My brother and I were at a church retreat the whole weekend, and my dad went to stay with my grandparents. He didn't want to be alone in the house with her and her kids. While we were gone for the weekend, she moved everything out, everything, even some stuff she didn't own. Luckily, she left my bedroom and my brother's rooms alone, but the rest of the house was bare. She took all the living room furniture, the dining room, my dad's room, the den, everything. My dad didn't have a bed to sleep in the night we got home. That's going to wrap up the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 378 of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the rest of this Ouija board story, which is just amazing, become an extra podcast person. Also, the story about the Reaper that actually you don't need to fear. All that and the rest of this episode and all 378 bonus episodes, along with our archive of episodes, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, the advanced episodes, all of it commercial free, the new bonus episodes every week, ebook, audiobook, it's all there. Sign up to support the show, get access to all of it. Ghostpodcast.com is where you can do that. Or through the Patreon app, just search Real Ghost Stories Online or patreon.com/realghoststories. Check it out. Help keep us on the air. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.